Hello, welcome to episode 6 of Women of the Future. This episode is entitled Transforming Hard Knocks into Pillars of Strength. Like many of you watching today, we as women all across the globe have found that life has sent many challenges in our path, our way, that we have found difficult or sometimes unbearable to deal with. And so what we will be looking at today is how do you deal with whatever life throws at you and still remain standing, still have the ability to wake up in the morning and face the next day. Sister Denise, thank you for joining us. It's been great having you here, and I'm really looking forward to what you have to share today.
Thank you.
There are very few ladies watching you right now, whether young or old, who have had experienced little or no sorrow. For the vast majority, they have experienced a knock or two, or maybe 100. And many are feeling, I cannot take it anymore. I can't deal with this anymore. What is your message, and what is the answer to a woman in that situation, who's in that position where you feel there's nothing left inside you to deal with whatever the life's setting at you?
I think we have to look at it a little bit in a philosophical way. Many hard knocks are experienced harder than they actually are. It feels worse because the way you have been raised to think has created expectations. For example, your family will always support you. You know, that's like a given until they don't. And so the event will happen, plus there'll be this tremendous disappointment that the belief that they have had faith in and believed in turned out to be untrue. And I think people suffer from that more than from the actual hard knock. In Brahma Kumaris, we have certain ways of looking at things. For example, one of them is that everything that happens in life is good. Everything that happens in life is good. That means to say that if you take it in a way that you can extract the profit, extract the benefit, that is what makes it good. So that the thing itself may present itself as bad, but what you can take from it, make it profitable to yourself, that profit is actually good.
I want to interrupt you there. Things happen in one's life that causes one moderate or severe pain. Mm-hmm. How is this good? What you just said, Sister Denise, with respect, does not make sense. How can excruciating pain be good?
It's because in our world we say pleasure is good, pain is bad, the pain-pleasure principle. Now, in spirituality, we'll say pleasure is pleasure and pain is pain, but we wouldn't say pleasure is good and pain is bad.
Okay, pain feels bad.
Of course it feels bad.
But you get hurt. You get hurt on so many levels.
Yes, but what it feels is not necessarily what it is. And this is where we come into this whole question of perception.
What does that mean? What it feels like is not what it is.
When you take heroin, it feels really good. And then you say, this feels good, let me have some more. It'll put you into hell. It isn't good, but it feels good.
So your feelings lie to you?
Your feelings deceive you. I mean, philosophically, it is pretty often mentioned that perception is deceptive. Your sense perceptions are deceptive. Something may look good, but actually be bad. I mean, when you go to the grocery and you want to buy an apple, and you look at the shiniest, reddest, rosiest apple, you bite into it, it tastes like styrofoam. You've been ripped off. And you see, the process of business is to sell the product. And even though you have so many statements like do not judge a book by its cover, but the book industry knows people buy on the base of the cover. Even there are stories in India, stories that, you know, tell you this and this is such, but because you're so much under the influence of sense perceptions, and it's a whole culture of sense perceptions, that's a kind of collective illusion everybody buys into. If it looks good, it is good. If it feels good, it is good. And spirituality is saying, check this out first before you follow it.
Okay. Sister Denise, ladies, the female psyche is by definition the feelings department. We are experts in the field of feelings. Okay. Women are all about feelings. Yeah, that's a given. Now you are dropping a bomb, which says that your feelings lie to you. When we hear messages like follow your intuition, follow your gut feeling, trust your feelings, now you're saying the opposite. What are we to believe?
I'm not actually saying the opposite. I'm saying check it. If you operate on feelings only, you will be deceived. If you have a balance between your feelings and your intellect, you will not be deceived. So you see, I think maybe, you know, the males are told, you develop your intellect, forget about feelings. And the women are told, you just go for the feelings, forget about your intellect. You probably don't have one anyway. And that will make a perfect marriage. It's a disaster.
Okay, so you are saying that whatever feelings you have, feel with care?
Feel with care. Verify that what you're feeling is right by checking it against your intellect, your logic, other criteria. Don't limit yourself only to the criteria of feeling, because it's limiting it to the feelings only, to the exclusion of your logic, your intellect, your ability to check things.
Sister Denise, if one looks at the global divorce rate, what you just said makes a lot of sense in that context, because how intelligent women are, and men, and I'm not discarding that, people marry based on their feelings. The intellect very rarely comes into play there, but the intellect does kick in once the date of the marriage has passed and you realize what the condition of your life is afterwards, be it 5 years or 10 years or 30 years.
This is why we have this saying, look before you leap.
Very few do.
We need to.
Yeah, we need to. Okay, so how then does one proceed?
This is where I think education comes in. You know, in many places, education means you learn something by rote, which means you don't learn how to think. And learning how to think is the most important attribute of education. And learning how to think means, okay, you get an input, sensory input, which feels a certain way, looks a certain way, and inclines you to a certain conclusion. But before you act on it, check it against other criteria and see whether it is coherent and consistent. And if it isn't, reject it.
Is it Denise? You mentioned wisdom in a previous episode. Take us through how a woman can empower herself in the context that you just described, because you're sharing as to how ladies can grow from their negative experiences. I like the expression that you used earlier, to take the profit out of something. You've got to be very deep and work very hard to do that. And in this context, set your feelings aside.
I don't think you have to discard your feelings, but you have to bear in mind that feelings is one piece of input, and it's insufficient to judge something on how it seems. because feelings correspond to appearances. Now, something may appear very nice or very real, and it's just a piece of paper with a picture on it. It's not a real thing, you know. A person may tell you, you know, I'm rich, I'm famous, I'm blah, 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 and it's not real. So you have to be able to verify things, you see. And in our spiritual practice, there are many people who get a wonderful inspiration, a great idea, and they say, oh, I got this marvelous idea, and we must immediately do it, you see. And then we're always told, first verify it. Is it feasible? Is it practical? Is it necessary? What is going to be the effect of it? Because just having an idea doesn't mean all that it feels it means, you see. So feelings by themselves are, I think, inherently deceptive. And I think feelings is not the same as a very cultivated intuition. That is not feelings, though you may use the word feelings for it.
Many do.
And I think one of the useful aspects of a spiritual education is you limit words to what they actually mean. A lot of times we will use a word to refer to the entire spectrum from one end of the polarity to the other. You use the same word, and this causes a lot of stupidity.
Ouch. That's painful to hear, isn't it? So, Sister Denise, life knocks hard. And I don't mean knock, knock. I mean sends some heavy blows
heavy
one's
blows.
Way. Okay? To lose loved ones, to lose limbs, or to end up in a wheelchair as a result of an accident, to have lost one's income, especially if you're the breadwinner, to have lost a child. These are the very real challenges women face. And there are many ladies who are listening to you who are living in war zones. Okay? We find ourselves living in impossible situations. Impossible. There are ladies living in countries where crime against women is at a shockingly high rate. Mm-hmm. So how do you protect yourself? Is it necessary to protect yourself so that further knocks do not occur? And that's my first question, because you've got no control over the knocks that come your way, because life just sends those bomb blasts. Okay? But now that you are carrying the burden of that on your shoulders, and the image of Atlas comes to mind, how do you transform? What is the procedure, the recipe? I mean, I'm not expecting you to deliver a three-line answer to the question, but how does one transform? It's a machinery, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you see, you are raised with a set of beliefs which turn out to be wrong as the different bomb blasts hit you. And what you have to do in each case is you have to come to terms with it. So the whole process of coming to terms is a huge education. And this is the whole thing, coming to terms with loss, coming to terms with betrayal, coming to terms with abandonment, coming to terms with, you know, some crime that's done against you. Because just the business of coming to terms with it, this is what gives you the wisdom. And so there are many aspects in coming to terms. First of all, the thing happens, there's a shock. So then you have to deal with shock. And the process of dealing with shock is, you know, like physically, when there's a shock, there are shock waves, which are very strong, and then they diminish, like an earthquake or a bomb or whatever it is. And so you have to hold yourself steady as the shock waves diminish, and take note of the fact that you're still alive. You know, the sky did not fall on your head. The thing happened, you survived it. And then things become again normal, and you have to sort of include that in your history. This happened, then coming to terms with it will very often involve having to deal with the fact that you were deceived by the messages the society gave you. This will never happen. You know, you will fall in love, get married, and live forever happily, and then your husband dies after 2 years or 4 years, and you have to be looking after the child, and you're a single parent. You have to come to terms with it, you know. Just endlessly lamenting it is not wise, it's not useful, there's no point. Yeah, life goes on. And so tell yourself, I have to come to terms with it, and to get into the business of coming to terms with it, however long it takes. What matters is that you start to do the business of coming to terms with it. So you may resent it, and you have to get over your resentments. You may feel revenge. Now, revenge is no less good than the crime itself.
There's no such thing as justifiable revenge?
Well, you can say, okay, you did this to me, therefore I'm going to do that to you. So from the point of view of karma, you don't know the whole story because you're just looking at what's presented. So you do this to me, I do that to you. They're going to do this to you back. It's going to escalate.
Sister Denise, it's a very deep aspect within the human psyche to want to feel vindicated. How do you get past that?
People say, I want justice. What they mean is, I want to take revenge.
There's a Department of Justice in every country across the globe.
Yes.
Are those what? Revenge institutions?
Not at all. But if you yourself take the law into your own hands, that's revenge. If you go along with due process, whether it is successful or not successful, you have to come to terms with it. You have to accept that this is the setup that is there, legal setup. And I mean, there are many setups where you have the process of revenge operating, the judiciary in some places gets corrupted, there's all sorts of things going on. But as an individual who decides, okay, I am seeking to make my life right, and then you're in all of these circumstances, many of which are intolerable, unacceptable, whatever, but ultimately, the process of coming to terms, the process of accepting what is, this is what makes you into a high-quality person.
I like the way you phrase that, because the message that I'm receiving from your last answer is that it's all about positioning yourself.
Yes.
Tell us more about that. That's a very beautiful statement, Sister Denise, and it's not just your words that are impacting on me, and I'm sure the ladies at home, but it's the energy with which you're speaking that's so lovely. I hope you're getting the vibes like I am in the studio. How do you position yourself? Well, for want of a better expression, to make like a washing machine. The dirt goes in and out comes clean clothes. How do you position yourself?
You know, sometimes people say, if this or this or this bad thing happens to me, it means I'm a bad person, or it means I deserve it, you see. That may in some cases be true, perhaps, but that should not be your starting point. Your starting point is, I'm a good person, I must stay in my self-respect and my dignity, and bad things happen to good people. Otherwise people say, why do bad things happen to good people? They happen. It's no question of why. It's a phenomenon, you see. And when you have a phenomenon, like a bad thing happens, you're a good person, you deal with it. You can say it's a test. And what is it a test of? It's a test to see how stable you are, how strong you are, how much you're in your self-dignity, etc. These tests are not designed to make you fail. They're designed to push you ahead. And you have to take them that way.
Very few see it that way, because for the vast majority who receive knocks, it sends them flying south, deep south. Because most people, Sister Denise, do not recover from the tragedies in their lives. They don't recover. Ladies are, well, stuck in the past. Most of us, Sister Denise, up here, we live in our heads in the past. We're not living in present times.
So we have to practice it. We have to learn about it. We have to make a decision. Life goes on. I'm here. The only thing that stops me from recovering is my decision.
Oh, that is such a beautiful line. The only thing that stops me from recovering is my decision. Very few know that they have a choice.
So we have to tell them again and again and again, you have a choice, because every time you're in a present moment, you have various options. And second by second, the present, you know, is moving forward. The future is coming into the present. The present is disappearing into the past. That's the nature of time. So we have to be here now, as it were, famous phrase. And, who am I? Yeah, I'm a dignified person. I'm a spiritual being. Who do I belong to? I'm a child of God. I'm a world citizen. What will I do now? Well, let's look at my options and take the one which is looking like the best, applying your feelings, your intellect, your wisdom, and then move forward. Because if you don't do that, why not? You can do that. Always do what is best for you. There's a very interesting phrase in India that we refer to sometimes, is when you raise yourself, the whole rest of the world raises. Or rises.
Lovely image. I want to come back to the depth of the topic. Pain is for many a type of prison. The knocks that one receives are a type of prison. How do you free yourself from the prison of your pain and not still carry the trauma inside? The reason I'm asking this, Sister Denise, is you use the expression come to terms with your feelings. Mm-hmm. Okay, and our sisters out there have employed various tools that
I didn't say come to terms with your feelings. I said come to terms with your situation.
There's a difference?
Yes.
Okay, tell us, what does it mean to come to terms with your situation? Where you've experienced a knock in the past, you have moved on to some extent, but you're walking with the proverbial ball and chain attached to your foot.
The key's in your hand. Use it. The prison is very often the door's not locked. Walk out. You know, it's just a matter of noticing that I've put myself, or I've kept myself, in a prison which seems like a prison, but it's not actually a prison. I can step out of it anytime I want. The key is in my hands. The key is to see that I'm only in this because I've agreed to be in it, not for any other reason.
Sister Denise, I think the challenge is that women find it difficult to navigate through their negative experiences and their feelings.
Yes.
Because you're literally driving in the dark. No matter how much support you get, your pain is your own personal experience. I once heard it said that hell is not a place, hell is an experience. So to navigate out of this, it is hard.
You know, you're in a situation, the situation is hard, everything is stacked against you. Go into silence, wait and see. Because a ray of light will come, but you won't notice it if you're all over the place or in the tsunami of your feelings. You have to go into the quiet.
Tsunami of your feelings. Oh, wow. That is that is so descriptive. Tsunami of your feelings.
I once saw a wonderful little film of a hare jumping over an avalanche.
Oh,
And it
yeah.
was just a beautiful analogy that this is possible, you know. All you have to do is orient yourself in a certain way, because you also have a relationship with your feelings. You know, you can surf them or you can be plowed under by them. Again, it's, I think, I mean, choice. And then once you've made the choice, then you need to acquire the skill, because you're very often and rightly saying, this is difficult. Okay, if something's difficult, then you work with it until you become skilled.
Okay, take us through what you just said about sitting in silence. I interrupted you when you said that.
Well, you're in a situation, every so often you find yourself just sitting there with your feelings, with the situation. It may be late at night, you can't sleep, whatever it is, there you are. And you see all this thing and you say to yourself, I can't handle it. And part of it is because you have given yourself a message that I have to resolve this. And you just don't allow yourself to actually not resolve it. So one has to, as soon as you get a moment when there's nobody around, you're by yourself, okay, here I am. Now go as silent as you can and just experience that you yourself are not the same thing as the situation. So you begin to create a separation between yourself and the situation, so that you are with yourself. The situation is external to you. It's just an event, something. This allows you to begin to become a detached observer. Then, from your heart, from your mind, you say to the Supreme Being, I cannot handle this, I give it over to you.
Surrender.
Surrender. There's nothing you can do. And then you just be still, and you start to get some clarity. You may even experience some spiritual solace, some help, you know. And there is a saying, a very powerful saying, that when you take a step of courage, and it does take courage to just say, this is too much for me, I give it, I let go of it. You always receive help from the divine. And one of the specialities of women is they're very close to their spirituality, in general more than men. Men are generally more externalized, more dealing with the material world. Women are closer, in general, to the spiritual dimension. And when you go into silence, that also makes you closer to that realm, that reality. And there you can take great strength, you see. And this is something that if you practice it while the going's good, as soon as you get into a test situation, well, you know where to go, you know how to go, you just go.
Hmm. Okay, thank you, Sister Denise. We have come to the end of today's episode. So how to transform hard knocks into pillars of strength. This has been a very rich and fulfilling experience for me, sharing the studio with Sister Denise today and listening to what she has to say on the subject. And I received from today's talk the message that irrespective of what happens to you, you either become part of the problem or try and set up a solution. And I really loved the latter part of today's talk, where Sister Denise warned against being caught up in what she calls the tsunami of feelings. That's an extremely descriptive analogy, the metaphor. Towards the end, she talked about the importance of sitting in silence and finding answers. But the most important thing is, if you find yourself in a position that you cannot handle, simply give it to God. Because there are some problems that we cannot carry on our own shoulders, but simply to hand it over to God, and that would be the answer. So surrender. On that note, I would like to say goodbye to Sister Denise and to you at home. And I do hope to see you again soon. Take care and goodbye.